together. Let's go ahead and take a look at Hebrews 10, verses 7 through 10. See who's got that one.
Hebrews 10 what?
Hebrews 10, verses 7 through 10. Romans 12, which starts off, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. What did Christ do? And the answer is found in Hebrews 7, 10.
10, 7, or 7, 10?
10. 7, 10.
Anyone else have that?
I'll read it.
Go ahead.
Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen. How about that? Amen. We're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. Guys, we have already been crucified at the cross. I am crucified with him. What's the living sacrifice? Faith in Christ. We are risen again from the dead through him. We live through him. He offered his body. We offer ours. We live through him. In Romans 12, 2, we are to transform our mind so we can prove God's will. And I'll just quickly state on here, what it doesn't mean to transform your mind is to take the Word of God, which we have here at BBF, the Authorized King James, memorize it, study it, and change your thought according to what the book says. And we have two good examples in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. What did Christ do? He quoted Scripture. In all the battles that he had, he quoted Scripture against it. Right? We're to do the exact same thing. Whatever evil, wicked, vile thoughts we have, we go to the Word of God and we change our thinking to think like him. Transform our mind. In verse Romans 12, 3, we're basically to humble ourselves in order to receive God's grace, not to think highly of ourselves. Who's got Philippians 2, 5 through 8? Philippians 2, 5 through 8.
I got it.
Okay, go ahead, Linda.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
Amen.
Is that it?
Yes. Okay. He humbled himself. What are we supposed to do? Pastor Miller had some messages on it during this month. We're to pick up our cross daily. Daily. To pick up the cross means we humble ourselves and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. We pick up our cross daily to follow the Lord. Let's take a look at Romans 12, 5 through 8 are listed the spiritual gifts. We are to exercise our spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ. And just a little humor for you, huh? Because I'm going to show you something about the spiritual gifts the way I wish it would have been taught earlier in my life. Jill and I was at this church, and I won't mention it, but the pastor was preaching on 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ and the gifts there. And sometimes, guys, life gets to the point where you don't totally prepare, okay? And so sometimes I've heard the preaching from the pulpit where they'll do stuff that they normally would not have done because they're grasping at straws. And the pastor that we had at this time was looking at the text and goes, we're all part of the body of Christ. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jill knows. So he picked one group over here and said, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, you guys are the feet. Okay? Then he picked another group over here. Oh, yeah, so-and-so, you guys are the hands. And then he came to a friend of ours who's finally moved out of the city. And he said, and I'll use his name. He said, Carr, what are you in the body of Christ? He said, I'm the brains. If you knew Carl, you would have understood. When he said, I'm the brains, the whole place lost it. At that point, the pastor never regained the pulpit. He lost the pulpit, okay? So let's take a look at the seven spiritual gifts that are found in Romans 12, 6 through 8. We're supposed to exercise our spiritual gifts. We are given one gift on how we look at the Word of God and how we exercise it in the body of Christ. But we are to live through Christ, so we're to exercise all seven of the gifts. Okay, the first one mentioned is prophecy. And so how did Christ use prophecy? The prophecy is to warn people of what's coming down the line. Every time Israel got out of line, he sent the prophets. And they would prophesy against them of what would happen if they didn't repent from their sins. So we find Christ in Matthew 23. And read the entire chapter. There are eight woes that he's given to the Jewish people because they have rejected the word of God. And if you want to have some extra fun for study, go to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Especially chapter 5, there are eight Beatitudes, and the eight woes are the exact opposite of the eight Beatitudes. Great, great study. But if you go to verse 33 in Matthew 23, the greatest prophecy Christ would say to anybody on this planet today, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? That's what's in a prophet's heart. Anyone you meet, how shall they escape the damnation of hell? You are prophesying to them. You're telling them, get right with God. You're not going to escape it. That one guy, the people that reject my tracts won't talk to me. They will not escape the damnation of hell. We need to be in prayer and just constantly keep praying for these people.
Yeah, the others, call them serpents.
You call them serpents.
And vipers.
Yeah. Well, and again, if you would have a study, do a study on serpents and vipers, go right back to Genesis 3.
That's a positive message.
Very.
I think we should start incorporating that into our
Yeah. Well, there's a certain word in a certain country, Italy, and the name of it is the House of Serpents. And the House of Serpents is now running the three branches of the government. Fascinating. Study, guys, it's there. The tribe of Dan, one of the symbols for the tribe of Dan was serpent. Another great study. All right? The other one, ministry. What is ministry? It is serving others. When you go to, well, who's got Matthew 20, verses 25, 28?
I'll do it.
Okay, go ahead.
So Matthew 20, 25 through 28.
Yep.
Okay, there it is. But Jesus called them unto him and said, that's correct?
Yeah.
Yep. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for men.
Amen. Christ said he didn't come here to be ministered to. He came here to minister. Guys, when you come here, we're to minister one to another. And how we learn how to minister here is the same we learn to minister outside the walls. All right? He came to minister. And for those of you who heard Johnny use the word dominion, the Gentiles like dominion. 30 out of our 50 states had dominion voting booths.
Voting Ohio.
In Ohio. Yeah.
I
think there's a neat connection there. That's
me. Probably won by about 15 points in the state in
yes.
reality.
And I'll bet you they voted Sherrod Brown out, too. He wasn't up for election. Any Democrat that won probably changed.
Yeah, anything that was close.
Hi there.
Okay. He that has the gift of teacher. And I can almost quote part of Acts 1:1. Because I always stop and meditate on it when I read Acts 1:1. Of all that Jesus began to do and teach. And that has to be a reminder for me, because I think I have the gift of teacher, but he wasn't a hypocrite. Whatever he did, he became the teacher of it later on. Every one of us here can be a teacher. We live through Christ, we teach the Word of God. Everyone that lives through Christ, we minister the Word. Everyone that lives through Christ, we become the prophet as far as warning people about getting saved. The next one is exhorter. And an exhorter does two things. They encourage people and they warn people. They encourage them to do what's right, and then they warn them that if you do this, this, and this, this is going to happen to you. And just read Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7. Jesus is encouraging people, and at the same time, he's giving them a warning. The next one is giver. Who's got Matthew 17:24-27? Matthew 17:24-27. Yes.
Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee.
How about that? Christ was a giver. Peter had a need. He couldn't pay his taxes. And so Christ told him, go ahead, go fishing. What a fisherman. First fish you catch. And that could be all day fishing. First fish. Now, Jesus Christ is God. I don't doubt one second that he said, okay, fish. Okay, I know where the money is. Get one. Come on up and hop on the hook. I don't doubt that for one second. But as a giver, he not only took care of his own needs, but he was a giver and took care of somebody else's need. And, you know, as we bond together as believers, that's the way we should try to operate. Because as we learn to operate that way here, live through Christ by being a giver, then the same thing transcends when we go out to the lost world and help them out. The other one is called ruler. Now, ruling is administration. But scripturally, if you want to compare scripture with scripture, what the ruler does here in the Christian life is discipleship. I personally believe, and this is just me, guys, that in our walk, from the time we get saved until the time the Lord takes us up, that we should try to disciple close to 12 people. But that's up to the Lord. So at least start with one, all right? Take what you know about the Word of God and share it with one other person. When I learn things out of Scripture, I share it with my son Johnny, I share it with Jenny, I share it with Jill. If I'm talking to somebody on the phone, I share it with them. When I come here, I'll share with you guys what I'm learning, just like yesterday, it didn't dawn on me. It shows you how dumb I am. But the line of Christ, I like to think that everybody in the line of Christ was saved. And 1 John 1:12, 1:13 says that's not possible. It's not by blood. Every single one of them had to come to a faith in Christ. We will be up in heaven at some point, and we're going to see some of the people in the line of Christ that was never saved, even though they had the body of Christ go through their line. Not by blood. It has to be an individual decision to receive and trust the Lord.
Absolutely.
So discipleship is what the real world has to deal about. It's just like what we said, Christ said, I didn't come to be ministered unto. I came to serve. And what ruler is you're serving other people by discipling them and bringing them up to the standard, at least where you're at. Then the last one is mercy. Who's got Luke 7:47? And I keep thinking of a jet plane.
I want to mention something, John. I don't necessarily agree with the ruler thing. And I said it last week. You have different times where you're going to be put in positions as overseers.
Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
And I've said this many times. The idea of discipleship that evangelicals have put forth over the last 100 years is nowhere found in Scripture. So when we use the word discipleship, that's what the local church does. When people aren't discipled, it's because they're not faithful. Period. If you show up and you pay attention to the Sunday school, Sunday morning, Wednesday night services, you're in the Word daily, you're praying daily, and you're trying to reach people for Jesus, then you are being discipled. This idea of extra-biblical or extracurricular, there's no scripture for that. So I just want to make sure when you talk about that discipleship, you're not talking about additional things. You're talking about what God laid out. And people will not do things God's way. We only have a handful of people here this morning. There's probably 100 that ought to be here.
They could in the local area.
And they're not being discipled because they're not faithful.
That's true.
And God laid out His program, and if Christians would follow it, it would go great. We'd have a bunch of disciples. But people won't show up to the services. They won't read the Word daily. They won't pray without ceasing. They won't preach the gospel to every creature. That's God's discipleship program. And that's why it said in the text, ruleth, or being a ruler, is an overseer. And it literally is being an authority. And if you have been given a task and it involves other people, but you've been given the task of overseeing them, then that's the pastor or leader who has put you in that position has seen that you have the ability. Or at least he ought to. Because there are people who have grown in that position that they don't even have that ability.
Oh, I've seen that down through the last 40 years.
But that's what, when it says ruleth, I mean, it is talking about overseeing. And it's talking about having the responsibility to make sure that the task is done and that people do it in a biblical manner and so forth. And so it just is, and you're down to about 17, 18 minutes, you're still reviewing.
Good scripture. Good scripture.
I just want to remind you.
Oh, I know. Well, we're getting to the good stuff now.
All of it's good. Thank you.
The main part we're going for is to living through Christ, and that we're given gifts, and we live through Christ. We follow the examples that He's set for us in the Scriptures. So, let's go ahead and take a look then at Romans 9 through 21. Because that is point number 6. Heeding God's instructions and righteousness. So let's take a look at Romans 12. A lot of this is just all common sense. Yes?
Did you want Luke 7:47 read?
Yes. Well, go ahead. Oh, yeah, that's mercy.
I'm just going to fly through it. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little.
Yeah. Well, the mercy there has to deal with forgiveness and restoration. And we all make mistakes. We all still sin. And the whole thing is how we got saved is God had mercy upon us. And so as we live through Christ, we need to have the same heart of having mercy towards other believers so we can have the same mercy towards the unsaved.
What's the next one you're going through?
Oh, well, we're going to... well, let's just go ahead to Romans 9-16. These are all common sense. There's nothing difficult in how these things were laid out for us. 9-16. I'll start with verse 9, and you guys do the even ones. How's that sound? And then 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good.
Be kind to affection one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another.
11. Not slothful in business. In other words, don't be lazy. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality.
Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not.
Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
Be of the same mind, one toward another,
mind not high things, but condescend to men low estate.
Be not wise in your own conceits.
Yeah. See how it's just common sense. I mean, it really doesn't have to be explained all that much. There may be a word or two you might want to check out. But you guys see anything that would want to discuss in that area? It just it's plain. You know, we're not talking about who the parents of Melchizedek was. You know, or
so when it says bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. So we're gonna find out how that works
real quick here. Really? Well, yeah. I believe it or not, I've got.
That's not easy.
Yeah, but it also, you have to define your terms.
That's what I thought.
And there's a difference between telling somebody they're going to go to hell or someone saying, I've had people look me in the eye and say, I'd rather go to hell than be in heaven with you people. And I said, well, then go to hell. But it's going to be on you because you're wicked and you won't repent and you think hell's going to be a lot of fun and it's flames and fire and eternity. That's not personal.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But so people have been raised with Mr. Rogers instead of the Apostle Paul, and they think that if they ever say anything that offends somebody or is mean, in quotes, that they're cursing, and that's not what the biblical term is.
That's not it.
No.
And, you know, it literally means to pronounce a curse to damn somebody, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you're just telling them the truth and you're being very stern with them, that's not cursing.
Because we have to tell them the truth.
Oh, absolutely.
And notice it doesn't put it, it's not in quotes, it doesn't say to say the words, bless you. That's not, it says bless those. That means preaching the gospel is blessing.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Telling the truth,
rebuking them is blessing them.
Amen.
You know, if you're what you're doing is a blessing to them when they receive it, that's what it's talking about.
Yeah, you were talking about... Greg was talking one time about Matthew 23 and that stuff. That's serious there. And he described the Pharisees and he told
hypocrites.
Yeah,
hypocrites.
Oh, yeah.
He just went on through them. And, you know, it's not Mr. Rogers, I feel good. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I read through the book of John, I'm told that John was the gospel of love. As I'm reading through the book of John, he's got so many fights going on. I'm thinking, This is not what I'm imagining the gospel of love to be. I mean, he's fighting this group over here, fighting this group over here, fighting these guys over here. And the answer is that is love telling them the truth.
Right.
The last word of the Old Testament, believe it or not, is curse.
Yeah.
Curse.
Yeah.
Again, we're not cursing anyone. If you take a look again at Galatians 3:13, what it is, Christ became a curse. So the heart of a true Bible believer is not to curse someone, it's to bring them to the Lord.
But it is true that we can tell them they are under God's curse and what they repent.
Correct. Oh, absolutely.
God is the only one with the power to curse.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's scary. I don't like that one verse out of Galatians where God says, "You don't mock me, I'll mock you." Well, you're not supposed to be mocking God. Oh, he does. And I figured out the place where God is going to do the mocking will be at the great white throne.
Proverbs 1.
Yeah.
Mock when their calamity comes.
Yeah. And that's why, because he shared his love with them time and time and time again, and they rejected it. Totally rejected it, and that's bye-bye, adios. But this is just common sense teaching here of living the everyday life of the Lord, living through Christ, that we might live through him. And these verses, 9 through 16, we are living through him when we do these things. Let's take a look at, let's go ahead and read 17 to 21. I'll start with the odd still, then you guys do the even ones. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men.
If it be possible, as much as wise in you, live peaceably with all men.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord."
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And those last couple of verses, we're going to have to really hang on to strong for 2021.
Amen.
Because the evil...
Verse 21.
Huh?
20 and 21.
Yeah. 20 and 21. Yeah. Guys, and I've shared this with my family, if Christ, who was perfect, who had no sin, had, 227 laws brought up on him, to condemn him on the cross, what chance do we have? That is evil. And then I've shared with him Naboth. All he had was a garden. And Ahab wanted that garden. And what did Jezebel do? She drummed up false charges against that guy and had him stoned to death and stole the garden. That's the type of evil we're talking about coming up. I just heard this week, a pastor in Ottawa got arrested for having church. Guys, this COVID thing, it's going to get worse, starting with the first 100 days after Biden is in. We haven't seen nothing yet.
Fascist Fauci's already saying you got to just do it for 100 days. That'll make you happy.
No,
hell loves.
Has it already been more than 100 days?
For what?
But it's, you know, and all that national stuff is important, but on a personal level, a preacher years ago helped me understand this. But when it says, "If thine enemy hunger, feed him; if he thirst, give him drink," it's talking about they're hungry, meaning they don't have food.
Right.
It doesn't mean, you know, find out all your enemies and start sending them gift cards to local restaurants.
Correct.
And if he's thirsty, give him drink, meaning he's dehydrated, he's in need. And he said, he put it this way, and it really works biblically if you start reading Scripture with that in mind. Like the Good Samaritan,
exactly.
He was beaten up, he was left for dead. He wasn't
hanging out in the, you know, in the marketplace with a cart full of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So you watch your enemies and wait for the moment when you can fulfill a need. Because otherwise you're enabling them.
Correct.
But when they are in dire need,
yes,
you do it in, they know you're doing it in Jesus' name, you're doing it because of the fact that you're a follower of Christ.
Yes.
That's when it has its powerful.
Exactly. No, I agree 100%. There's certain people that Jill and I have ministered to. We're in the bus ministry at the Columbus Baptist Temple. And we didn't even have any budget in the bus ministry. I was a director for a year and a half. I had no budget. But we took stuff out of our own pocket to minister to people. Out of our own pocket. And good night. We hardly made any money at all. But Jill was willing to sacrifice. I was willing to sacrifice. And it worked out. Well, the final verse on that one, let's go to Romans 5. Because the recap here, as we get to the last verse here, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We transform our minds with the Word of God. We humble ourselves to receive God's grace. We exercise our spiritual gift in the body of Christ. We heed God's instructions in righteousness. And then we love our enemies in order to win them to the Lord. Take a look at Romans 5. And we've covered this before in other studies. Romans 5, 6 through 10. And then we'll close. Starting with verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die.
But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath after death.
For if, when we were enemies, notice in Romans 12, the last few verses there, enemies. That was us at one time. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and that goes back to Romans 12, 1, offering your body as a living sacrifice, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And we go right back to 1 John 4, 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, in that Christ died for us, and we're to live through him.
Amen.
Amen. And that's it in a nutshell for that whole chapter.
Amen.
So I think we're done. So I'll have Doug, if you want to close us with a word of prayer.
Lord, just thank you for this lesson of which you had a lot of meat that we go back over to study. We thank you for John preparing for that, and we just got to listen to the pastor in a few minutes here to do his study, and what he's going to bring forth. Lord God, we are praying for this country, but and the politicians, and we got our minds focused on that, but We understand, Lord God, you're the one that nothing's going to happen unless you decide for it to happen. And we've got to get our minds off of politicians and put it back on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's the only one that is going to help us through this thing and carry us through. We thank you, Lord, for this day and time. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.